Thank you very much, men. That was a real blessing. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis. And today we are going to think about our first mother. We're going to think about our first mother. And as we think about our first mother, we're going to look at the stages in the life of our first mother. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2:8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Oh, the Garden of Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, chapter 2, it tells us, verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took of the ribs and of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had made taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. You know what? First stage in the life of our first mother was utopia. Utopia. That's right. Utopia. Beautiful garden. Every need supplied. A perfect life ahead. Everything was there. Utopia. Wow. Utopia. Created to live forever in fellowship with God. Everything was there. You know, it reminds me of the utopia that we can find in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. I think of Israel as they were going to go into the promised land. I think of the possible utopia that they were going to have. As God gave them the Bible, God's holy word, revelation from heaven. You know, the Bible is God's revelation. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You know, God gave us the Bible. Everything in it is a wonderful revelation of our mighty God. And he said, the Lord said, these words the Lord spake. Excuse me, let me go back where I'm supposed to be. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I love this verse. Verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Wow. The wonder, the marvel, the wisdom, the perfectness of the Word of God given to the people of Israel, that they would be the greatest and the wisest, most understanding nation in all the world. The possibility of utopia in that sense. You know, Eve's first stage was utopia. But her second stage dissatisfaction with utopia. Dissatisfaction with utopia. How can it be? Dissatisfaction with utopia. Yes. Dissatisfaction with utopia. Dissatisfaction with God's perfect plan. Dissatisfaction with God's perfect place. God's dissatisfaction with God's perfect future. Dissatisfaction with utopia. Our dear first mother, dissatisfied with utopia. Yes, it was. The Bible tells us. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, the Bible said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That was God's plan. Verse 17 of chapter 2, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. Verse 20 of chapter 2. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Utopia. Dissatisfaction with utopia. Dissatisfaction with God's order. What was God's order? God, man, male, female, Adam. God's plan. They were to rule over all the beasts of the field. Isn't it interesting? Chapter 3, verse 1. Who she listened to? Serpent. Number 4 has become number 1. I dare say, the world we live in today, you have a longer sentence in jail for a crime against an animal than against a human. I dare say, better be careful what you do. with certain animals, but it's legal to kill a baby in the womb. Utopia lost. How? Dissatisfaction with God's plan. Disobedience to God's ways. The devil said through the animal, through the serpent, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The woman said, "We may eat of the trees of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Really? Ye shall not touch it? They were supposed to dress all the trees of the garden. You know, when you start stretching God's commands because you don't like them, you notice that? Ever have a child? You know what mom said? You know what dad said? And they go make it, you know, they stretch it. They're trying to make mom or dad look bad, aren't they? They're dissatisfied with their God. Dissatisfied with their authority. Utopia lost. Dissatisfaction. Everything they needed. And the devil says, no, you need something else. You need something else. Because, you see, that utopia lost was because of disbelief. And the highest form of disbelief, the belief that God is good. His word, there's something that's really not so good about it. There's so much in it that's just not good. Because a good God didn't give it. But a good God did give it. And it is good. You know, Eve, I guess her name wasn't Eve, it was woman. God's not good. His commandments aren't good. His restrictions aren't good. God isn't good. Utopia lost. Unbelief. Unbelief of the highest form. Disbelief in the goodness of God. And his ways. Utopia lost. God's not good. All his provisions, there's a big error in them. Utopia lost. Dissatisfaction, disobedience, deception, doubt, and then death. Death. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death. You can say so many things about that death. Adam and Eve hiding from God. Why would you hide from God? Running from God. Utopia lost. You know, there's a lot of people running from God. They think they can run. You know, that is utopia lost. To run from God. To be convinced that God is not good. You know, I I think of a book that was written in 1974. These folks from California will remember it, because it was written by Tim LaHaye. And the book was called The Christian Home. And it was about the time that feminism was starting to invade Christianity. And a dissatisfaction with God's plan and God's role and God's goodness. And I remember, I don't remember a lot of things I read, but once in a while I remember something and it keeps, I get it. But he said something in that book. He said, I predict in 30 to 40 years that women will be in counselors' offices and psychiatrists' offices by the thousands. And they will be put on some kind of antidepressant. An epidemic in America of antidepressants. An epidemic. Really, why? You know why he said it? Because they're dissatisfied with God's plan. God's greatest plan. The home. Motherhood, the role of a family, the plan of a family. And he put it like this: when a woman tries to usurp and take and become the role of a man, she's going to come to her point in her life when she said, I wasted my life on nothing. I've missed, without even knowing it. There's something missing in my soul. Maybe we would call it, now they're depressed. You know what I'm saying? That's what they'd say, I'm depressed. Utopia lost. You know, God's plan is the only right plan. Any variation from God's plan is a part of utopia lost. But God didn't die. We find that next stage of her life, we find Eve discovering the goodness and mercy of God. We find Eve discovering the goodness and the mercy of God. Chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? Now, let's stop there. Goodness of God. God, a merciful God, is seeking Adam and Eve. A merciful God is seeking Adam and Eve. A good God always was good. But you know, Eve somehow didn't learn that lesson. She didn't grasp that truth. Somehow, she didn't get it. Now she's going to get it. She was from the stage of, no is bad. And all that went with it. I got a better idea. God's not so good. Now she's discovering the goodness of God. Aren't you glad for the goodness of God? I am. And of course, we see that throughout the Bible. The goodness of God. Herein is love, not that we love God. No, we didn't love God. We loved ourselves. Herein is love, not that we love God, no, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, we have a world just running in rebellion against a good God and calling Him bad. Not only by their words, but by their actions. And yet, here is God. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son. And so, God comes to Adam and Eve, finds them, speaks to them, and gives them a great promise and gives them great hope. Verse 15, as He speaks to Satan, the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. She didn't know anything about that. Not yet. It shall bruise. It, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head. Of course, this is the prophecy of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, that through her, Eve, and God's mercy, He is going to send a Savior. He's going to be born of her seed to bear our sin and to defeat the devil and sin and death. Amen. The goodness of God. She didn't know much about it before. In fact, she couldn't see it. She didn't appreciate it. You know, I'm sure some of you parents tell your kids, you know, you just don't appreciate what you got. You ever tell them that? You know, you just don't appreciate what you have. I think every generation gets a little bit worse. My dad told me the same thing. He said, you don't know. When I was a kid, I had to walk. I had to walk through the fields, over the snow drifts, and whatever, however cold it was, I had to walk over a mile to school every day. Et cetera, et cetera. I remember my dad telling me, we never had oranges or fruit or candy in our house. Nope, not till my older sister got a job. Did we ever have anything like that? And on and on. You don't know how good you got it. It was true. And I didn't know how good I had it. And I wasn't very satisfied. But now, in the midst of death, experiencing sin, Eve is discovering a good God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but He first loved us. God proved His love for us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. A good God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. A good Bible, a good God, a good law. We have a good God. Amen? But you know, the Bible tells us, in the grace of God, Adam and Eve believed this wonderful promise. And they were saved. They were saved. They passed from eternal death to eternal life By faith. You say, how do you know that? Well, I know it because of two things. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. You know that before that, her name wasn't Eve. What was her name that before that? He called her Eve. Why? What do you call her before? What was her name? Woman. His name was man. She was woo man. In the Hebrew, it's Ish and Isha. Out of man. But now she's called Eve. Why? Because the mother who brought death into the world by giving her husband the fruit is now going to bring in life. There's going to be a Savior. We understand it as Jesus. She's going to bring in life. And they believed the promise of God. And she called his name's wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam and also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God evidenced their faith and their salvation by killing an innocent animal, shedding the blood of that innocent animal, and covering them completely. Just like our robes in heaven will cover us completely, because their sins were covered by faith in the coming of the Lamb of God who had shed his blood. What a wonderful stage. She discovered the goodness and mercy of God. But what about the next stage? The next stage was a stage of grief. And grave disappointment. As she discovered the reality of the sinful nature. Passed on to her children in conception. You know, this week, I think it was, maybe it was last week, scientists have discovered something that we knew all along. You know what they discovered? Whatever you want to call it. They didn't really discover anything. It was just there. But they saw on video a human sperm conceive with a human egg. And they saw an explosion of light. It wasn't just a blob. It just wasn't tissue. Life was conceived. Miraculous. At a moment of time. You're going to have to do a lot of denying now. But in that explosion, there not only was human flesh, a life, but there was a soul. There was a soul formed at that moment. An eternal soul. And man, that child, through Adam and Eve, received a sinful nature as well. Eve is hopeful. They believe. They've been saved. God has a promise. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have got the man from the Lord. I think she thought, this was the Messiah. This was the Christ. But it wasn't. He was a sinner. His name is called Cain. He wasn't just a sinner. You know what? Wonder how long it took for Eve to realize that her disobedience was, she saw before her eyes multiplied in her child. Cain, go do that. I will not. I will. What do you mean? This is my version. You little pipsqueak. You say no to me? Yep. I do. Who? You talk about grief. You talk about grief. You talk about depth of grief in the soul of a mother. There's nothing like it. Yeah. I think that's one of the problems we have in our world today. Mothers have gone beyond the stage of grief. Said, forget it. The Bible says, Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Here was the discovery of this awful, awful, awful thing called the sin nature. Huh. You know what? I am convinced that a lot of young people, they don't have a clue, hardly, about the fact that they have a sin nature. You know, sin nature, that's just, you're born with it. You know, the sin nature, it's just naturally rebellious. It's just naturally evil. It's just naturally disrespectful. It's just naturally selfish. Hey, it's normal. Your mother discovered that sin nature. Cain. Now listen. I don't want to listen. Cain, I'm trying to tell you for your good. I don't care. Cain, you're just so self-centered. No, I'm not. I'm just going to do what I want. What a grief. You know what? I'm sure it was double grieving. Because she knew she is part of it. She knew she is part of it. She saw sin like she never understood. And she didn't understand it before that. Didn't understand the sin nature. They weren't raised as children. They're born adults. Created. Wow. And so she's watching. Many heartaches in her heart. But the Bible says in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Now Cain, you know that the offering that God made when we were saved, that he clothed us with, was a blood offering. And the altar's there. At the gates of the Garden of Eden, guarded by the cherubim. And you too must trust God's provision for your sin through a Savior who's going to die and shed his blood. No, Mom. No. I'll do it my way. And the Lord, in his mercy, appears to Cain and said, why aren't you wroth? I can't accept your offering. It's rebellious. It's wrong. Doesn't picture Jesus. The Bible tells us that Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass that they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Oh, think about Eve. My son has killed his brother. Oh, God, help me. Oh, my grief is too hard to bear. My son, who loved me, is dead. My son, a rebel, is alive. He's killed his brother. And she watched that brother. She watched her son, I mean. That brother watched him prosper. He built a city. Built a great civilization. Had many descendants, accomplished engineers, musicians. Manufacturers. An advanced civilization. I believe it was just a part of her disappointment and grief. And we'll see that in her last stage. Genesis 5:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son. And she called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I have a son, and his faith is so real. He's been passed on to his son. And now my grandson is making a difference in the world. And people are now calling upon the name of the Lord. Her last stage was a stage of joy and hope. Joy and hope. You can almost hear them saying, God had given me another son. He's of the godly seed. And he has a son. And people are calling upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Her grief, her disappointment. Been overshadowed by hope and joy. Hope and joy. I have a son. I have a grandson who love God and are taking the word of God, the message of salvation, out, influencing the world, snatching people out of this evil, evil civilization of Cain and bringing them to God. Yeah. Different stages in her life. Different stages of her life. Utopia. Utopia lost. The discovery of the goodness of God. Grief, disappointment in sin and our own family. Murder. Godless society. And then hope and joy. As we think of our first mother, there's so much to learn from her. I wonder today, are you dissatisfied with God's plan? Are you rejecting God's plan? It's a very real thing. Many, many. And our mother, first mother Eve did. She rejected, was dissatisfied with God's utopia. Are you dissatisfied with God's plan for your life? We live in a world of rebellion against a good God. Thinking it's going to turn out right. It won't. It won't turn out right. Starts with dissatisfaction with a good God in His way. Let Eve and what she did be a warning to you. Anyone who is dissatisfied with God's plan and His word, it will only bring grief. Isn't it wonderful that Eve could discover salvation? She could be restored back to fellowship with God. What a wonderful day. Have you found God? You found salvation? I mean, Adam and Eve, I mean, they knew everything there was about God. You know what I mean? They walked with Him in the garden. They heard His voice. You know, orthodoxy doesn't make you a Christian. But they had to come to repentance. Recognize rebellion and sinfulness of their own and turn and receive God's provision. What a wonderful day. Do you know about God or just Do you just know about God, or do you really know him? That's the million-dollar question today, isn't it? Do you know about God? Do you really know him? I just wonder. I'm sure it wasn't like this, but I just wonder. The day Eve got saved and God clothed them, I just wonder if she went around pinching herself to say, man, this is great. I can't believe we could go from so far that way to here. A good God. What can we learn from Eve? Our first mother. What will be the investment of your life? You know, as we look at it, the narrative, we don't really see any joy, real joy, as Eve watched her son Cain become successful, wealthy, a builder of cities, accomplished. You see the narrative. What's there? Nothing. But then, a son, a grandson, who loved God, who are causing an influence on the world, and men now are turning to God. Wow. What will you make the same investment with your life? The Bible gives us the picture. One investment, so to speak. Okay. Whatever. Not important. But the investment of a life. A child. That's going to influence the world for God. Oh, Lord, what a joy. It's written there. It's all there. The picture's there. You don't have to read Tim LaHaye's book on the Christian home, 1974. It's already there. Been written thousands of years. God's plan. That's the good plan. Make the mistakes sometimes, don't we? Comparing ourselves to Cain's success and thinking that's what it is. Just ask Eve. She'll tell you. What's important? What was real joy, the real hope of our first mother? It was the joy of a godly seed. Can't be replaced. It's God's plan. You know, I can't help but think I'm not, you know, we're not in that place anymore. In one sense of the word. You know. 43 years ago, we were thinking about our lives, our family, our future, what we're going to invest in. I told Emily and Tyler, there's this joke. He says, you guys are 43 years ahead of us. They got a new couch. We never had a new couch in 43 years. All rummage sale. But you know, we'd make a choice. I remember Reuben Kyle, this old pastor. Lord, they weren't blessed with any children. They would have loved to have children. I remember old Reuben Kyle, 80 years of age. He said, you know, my wife and I, we decided we weren't going to spend our life buying furniture. We're going to invest our life serving God. You know, we all have a choice of what we're going to do. Oh, I know where it was at. The dilemma. What are you going to do with your life? Oh, 43 years later. Oh, I tell you. Let me tell you. The thinking of the world, the stigma of the world, the mockery of the world about a Christian mother who stays at home, invests her life in her children. Oh, man. That's a waste. Know what the world says? It's a lot easier 43 years ago to have clear vision. Young people, I'm trying to help you have clear vision. There's still the greatest joy is a godly home, godly life, dedicated to serving God. That's the only real satisfaction. That is the only real joy in life. In Jesus Christ, of course. There's much we can learn from our first mother. I trust that mothers, don't let anybody tell you that what you're doing is not the most important thing in the world. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Be encouraged. That godly seed, you can almost see Eve. Oh, this is wonderful. My grandson. It's turning people to the Lord. Dissatisfied? Yeah, a lot of dissatisfaction, isn't there? Never turn out right. Because God is good. Let's pray, Lord. Thank you for the word, the clear pictures of the word of God. Lord, thank you for the lessons that we learn. And Lord, we do pray that even today, in your grace and your mercy, Lord, we realize that, sad to say that, Lord, sometimes we just don't get it. And Lord, it's a spiritual battle. I'm sure there's a spiritual battle in the home. As Eve and Adam tried to point Cain in the right direction. Oh, what a battle there is today. And I would pray for your Holy Spirit to take the truth and do a lasting work in a soul. Might the truth chase away the lies of the world and the devil and even of our own sinful heart. Lord, might you bring victory tonight, today, in a soul. Lord, it's not enough to know about these things or hear this message, Lord. Somebody's got to make a decision about it. They have to act in faith and wrestle with life and decide to trust you with their life in obedience. And Lord, only you can do it. And only man can do it. Man has a free will. And might both be exercised this morning in these moments. And might, Lord, there be those that are freed from the lies of the world and the devil that are as ancient as mankind. And might, Lord, there will be someone that will turn to the only Savior, the Lord Jesus, and give them a new heart and a new life. And the truth of the Word of God will be open to them in that they might obey it, and their end would be joy and hope. And now, Lord, I pray you'll encourage and bless our mothers in their duty, in their work, their selfless denial of so many things to be a godly mother. May you bless their efforts, Lord. May they not falter, but may they look forward to, Lord, a godly seed and all the joy, real joy, it will bring to their soul. With heads bowed and eyes closed,